Dear Heavenly Father, you are just incredible. We thank you for your never-ending love, and we thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you did it. You did it. You came and you rescued us. And I also thank you, especially now, for your word, the word that you have given us, this Bible. We thank you, Father, for the word in it. It will transform us. It's better than Popeye and spinach. It will make us strong. And I thank you, Father, that today, as the word goes forth, that we have ears to hear. I thank you that we just chew on it and it produces good fruit. Thank you, Whitney, Dominique's good analogies. Thank you. And I thank you that we will be changed. We will leave this place differently in Jesus' name. And everybody got Pentecostal on me and said, amen. Woo! Okay, anybody swinging from the ceilings yet? Okay, I'm waiting for that day. Amen. All right, why don't you open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have been about three, four, five weeks on a series called Building a Better You. And everybody, if I were to corner you, would say, yeah, I really want to be better. Nobody wants to be worse at life. We want to get better in life. So the whole series is about how we can be better and what the word has for us and how we act on it. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, meaning do this as quick as you can. Diligence, okay? Add to your faith. And the Greek says, keep adding it. So if you did it once, that's not keeping, okay? This is something you keep adding to your life, all right? So here we go. Keep adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control. Yours might say perseverance. Mine says patience, to patience. Godliness, to godliness. Brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness. Last one, everybody. Love. All right. Now, the first four we've already done. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, and patience. And those first four, we found out, you add them to your faith and you keep adding them. Keep adding them, keep adding them. And the reason why we keep adding them is they will produce fruit in your life. This is where you go to your spouse and go, baby, you better keep doing this because you need to start producing fruit. Okay, but this is what we do in our life. We keep adding these, they'll produce fruit. The last three, and the last time I was here, we introduced the last three. And the last three is godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Okay, and we did godliness, and we said that's how we please God. And today we're going to do brotherly kindness. And those three all have to do with relationships. Anybody have some relationships? Yeah, I hope so. You should. So those three have to do with relationships with God and with other people. So they're kind of important. Because, you know, life without relationships, you think would be fun. But it's pretty boring, and it's kind of depressing. So God has placed you on this earth to have relationships, but we need to know how to do them the right way, all right? So, hey, if you missed any of these, you can go online, ycf.com, press I like, and you, or sign up for the message. Sherry said I should tell you to do that. By the way, I don't think I've ever listened to myself. I don't even like listening to myself on the answering machine, okay? But you can listen to me, or better yet, listen to Sherry's message last week. You can do that. Or if you're still like me, I like CDs, all right? And I like to pop them in my car because I don't have a new car where you stick everything together and it starts doing it. So you can get a free CD. And there's envelopes in the back. Just write your name, stick them in those glass containers, and we'll get you free CDs, and then you can pick them up the next week over there, and you can say thank you to Tom Scott and Sam Jackson who do that. Though Sherry said we're gonna phase out of that. I go, really? Well, maybe when I get a new car, we'll phase out of that. So for like the next 10 years, Pam, we're doing CDs, right? Okay. Anyway, they're all free, so take advantage of that, all right? So today we're going to jump in right away to brotherly kindness. Now, everybody say brotherly kindness. All right, now let me tell you a story. I grew up in North Jersey, And there were eight of us in a family. I have six, there were six kids, Johnny, Dee Dee, Mary, Patrick, Tracy, and Liz, and mom and dad. And eight of us, can you tell I was Catholic? Some of those names, you know, Mary, Catherine, John, Joseph, all that stuff. Anyway, so there's eight of us in this house, and I forgot what the square footage was, and one full bath. But when your house was built in the 20s or 30s, that's it. Okay, so eight of us in one full bath on the second floor. And about the time we started becoming teenagers, the first four of us, my dad broke down and put a bathtub in the basement with a sink and a potty. And it was called the rec room down there, and I literally think we wrecked it. I remember my mom had gotten some furniture from Salvation Army, and she had it reupholstered in vinyl because it's the kids' rec room. And I bet it wasn't a month till my brothers and their friends were wrestling, and they busted one of them, you know. So you should not call it the rec room. That was our big joke. Ma, it's the rec room. What do you think? Okay, so anyway, we had the rec room and the bathroom, and that bathroom became the boys' bathroom. You didn't want to go down there, any of the girls. It was the boys' bathroom. So telling you all of that, when I think of brotherly kindness, eight of us, I don't have nice thoughts of brotherly kindness. It just, really? Brotherly kindness? And maybe if you have two or more kids, how many of you have two or more kids? And brotherly kindness? You know, there's someone always fighting, especially little ones. I remember this. He broke my Lego tower. And next thing I know, Legos are flying across the room. So brotherly kindness. And my favorite. So if you come into my house, I have sort of this round table. And in the morning time, by the time my kids hit second grade, they were commanded, demanded, and had to make their own breakfast, and they'd pack their lunch. Okay, so breakfast, make your own breakfast, was a box of cereal. And so they'd get their box of cereal out, my four kids, and next thing I know, I hear some kid going, "He's looking at me!" And cereal's flying. I was like, "What? Are you kidding me? Fighting!" So this was the rule. Take your cereal box and put it in front of you so you can't say, "He's looking at me." I'm serious. Now, my children have all grown up to be very delightful. But, okay, so when I think of brotherly kindness, I'm not thinking that. But the good thing about this is that's not what 2 Peter 1 means, brotherly kindness. All right, so do you want me to tell you? Brotherly kindness is talking about all of you guys, all Christians, all followers of Jesus, okay? Are to be kind to one another. So look at the person, say, "Are you a Christian? I'm supposed to be kind to you." That's brotherly kindness. I'm supposed to be kind to you, all right? In 2 Peter 1, brotherly kindness is talking about how you treat people. How you treat people. Okay, so the person, it's talking about how you treat that Christian that's sitting next to you. It's talking about the Christians that you go to your grow group on Wednesday night, how you treat them. It's talking about somebody who says, "I'm a Christian," how you treat them. Okay, brotherly kindness is talking about how you treat followers, Christians. All right. Because it says brotherly, and it sort of has to go like fraternity. It's, you dig in that word, fraternity. Well, we're the fraternity of the Lord Jesus. So how many of you would say you're part of the fraternity? This message is for you. It's how you treat one another in church and Christians that you come across, all right? So how do we treat each other? Good question. How do you treat each other? How do you treat each other in the church, in Christians? Yeah, right. Well, first let me say, kindness is really easy. It's really simple. It means to be kind. Kindness means to be kind, right? To show kindness. Pretty simple definition. So today I'm going to give you some examples on brotherly kindness, and I'm also going to share some things that have kind of bugged me for a long time in the church. And some of you are going to finally yell, amen, sister, and you're going to become Pentecostal, because I'm going to share some things that we got to do better, all right? So here we go. Let me back up a little bit. I've been born again about 39 years. Out of those 39 years, 35 of them I have been involved in church. Not just this church. When Jack and I were up at Penn State, then we went to Tulsa, we were involved in church, and I think I've been involved in this church too, about 30 years. I've been involved in church. Anybody been involved in church? That means you've been involved with Christians, believers, followers, all right? And now, like many of you, this is what I've noticed, that many times Christians, all right, they have a way of doing things. I'm going to say that again. Christians have a way of doing things, and they're really mean to one another. That's where you go, yes, amen, Pastor D. I've been waiting for that. Okay. Such as, I've heard this, you've not been done until you've been done dirty by a Christian. Amen. Anybody have that happen? I can't even look at some people because I know some of your stories. Not that you did the dirty, but okay. How about you've been taken, Christians, you've been taken advantage of by Christians. Amen. You're getting Pentecostal on me. Come on, help me out here today. Okay. But listen, that's not the way God intended it. Not at all. Not at all. We're not supposed to be able to say, hey, it was a Christian that took advantage of me. Hey, Pastor D, it's a Christian. It's because of a Christian that me and my family will never set foot in a church ever again. I hear those things. Because of Christians. Okay. Now, everybody say, it's not supposed to be that way. No, it's not supposed to be that way. All right, now I'm going to get to a scripture, okay? I'm just giving you background here. Jesus had these 12 disciples, and they are quite a bunch of characters. Wouldn't you agree? Just like half of you. You're all a bunch of characters, so we're no different. But my favorite character out of the 12 is Peter, who is just notorious for being impulsive. And this one particular time, which I love mentioning it because then I feel I'm not so bad, but it's Jesus and the disciples are at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is about ready to die on the cross, and the soldiers come up, and we got this character, Peter. He gets out his sword, and he cuts this guy's ear off, and Jesus bends down, picks up an icky ear, and puts it back on the guy, right? That's a character, isn't it? But aren't you so glad? Jesus is so cool, but these guys were not too cool, all right? Just like all of us sometimes. So Jesus has gathered his 12 disciples at this point. You can turn over to John, the Gospel of John. Okay, he's gathered them all together, and he says, listen, guys, I'm leaving. I'm soon out of this place, and I want to tell you some things. All right? I'm leaving. I'm soon out of here, and I want to talk to you about how you treat each other. You think you had a bunch of two-year-olds sitting around your kitchen table, Erica, you know, and you're telling them how to be nice to each other. No, this is Jesus talking to his 12. But I want you to also put yourself there. This is Jesus, and he's talking to his 12 who are followers. So if you're a follower, please don't turn off. He's talking to you, all right? So he's talking to the 12, and he says, I want to tell you how to treat each other, Christians. Followers, disciples, all right? And he says, there's going to be one distinguishing characteristic about you all. There's going to be one defining characteristic about you all followers, about disciples, that will make you different, okay? One, all right? So today we're going to talk about that one distinguishing, defining characteristic about Christians, okay? Now, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's not. The distinguishing characteristics of a follower is not how much you know. Amen, sister. Okay. The distinguishing characteristics of a follower, a disciple, a wholehearted believer, is not how much you know. All right? Jesus didn't say, oh, it's how much you know. It's how many Bible verses you can spout off. It's how good you are at pronouncing the Greek and the Hebrew. He didn't say that. All right? He didn't say it's, oh man, you really impressed me with all your Bible trivia. He didn't say that was the distinguishing characteristic of a believer. You know what he said was? He said the distinguishing characteristic of a believer is how you treat one another. So write that down. The distinguishing or the defining characteristic of all believers is how you treat one another. All right. He also did not say the distinguishing characteristic of you all is your morals, how you act, how you don't act. He didn't say that. He said the distinguishing characteristic of a believer is how you treat one another. Believers, how you treat one another. Okay? The other one, everybody say treat one another. Yeah, nice. All right. He also said the distinguishing characteristic of believers is not your doctrine. Is not your doctrine. That was not the distinguishing characteristic, your doctrine. Though listen, we got doctrine, okay? Listen, this just, sorry, ticks me off. I'll get a phone call. I've had, periodically I get this. Hey, are you the pastor? Yes, I'm Pastor D. How are you? Most of the time they don't even tell me their name. And they'll go, what's your doctrine? Because I want to know if I'm going to come to your prayer meeting. I'm going, really? We got a York City area prayer meeting and you want to know doctrine to see if you can go? Listen, I'll tell you, you know what our doctrine is at YCF? Real simple. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. He died. He rose again. He resurrected. He seated at the Father's right hand. And he's coming back. That's real simple doctrine. Okay? So, Jesus did not say the distinguishing characteristic about you is your doctrine. Right? He said the distinguishing characteristic about you is how you treat each other, how you treat Christians. So, are you over John? I'm not. John chapter 13. Alrighty. Just picture Jesus. He's grabbing all of his disciples for the last time, and he's going to give them these, like, guys, you got to get this. You got to get what's going to make you stand out. How you treat one another. Okay, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. That's how you treat one another. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Now listen, he said a new commandment. But I tell you about this commandment, love one another. You do that and you'll do the Big Ten perfect. You know the Big Ten commandments? You do that. This love and love one another, you'll always do those right. You'll always do those right. It's when you don't that, yeah, you break them. All right, so let's read that again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus is saying, hey guys, listen up. The distinguishing characteristic or the defining characteristic about followers, you guys and all followers, is that you'll love one another. That's pretty simple. Yeah, but it's fun to do, right? It's pretty simple. And he said, listen, you know how people are going to know that you're my disciples, my wholehearted followers? Not just the person that wears the cross, okay? And it's not how much you know, and it's not your doctrine. You know how they're going to know? By the way you love one another. All right. All right, now, I'm going to read you a quote from a non-Christian. Oh, Pastor D, I don't give a darn about non-Christians. Yeah, I know. Okay, but it's very interesting. This non-Christian, because there are non-Christians, people who are far from God, and they're watching us, okay? And they're watching us, and they're watching us, and they have things to say about us, okay? Now, I'm not going to give you $1 million for this quote, but I want you to think about it. Carol, can you pop this up? This is by Steve Jobs. Who knows who he is? How many have an iPhone, an iPad, listen to iTunes or a Mac computer? This is the co-founder and CEO, Steve Jobs. He wrote this. By the way, he was not a Christian. He died, 2011, and I don't know if he met Jesus before then. But here is an outsider looking at us's, all right? And this is what he said, all right? I forgot, where am I on my notes here? Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. The juice goes out of Christianity when it becomes too based on faith. Now, it's not talking the faith, I'll explain that later, rather than on living like Jesus or seeing the world as Jesus saw it. So here we have an outsider, a not believer, someone who's far or was far from God. And this is him looking at Christianity, looking at Christians, looking at followers, disciples. And he said, because of the way you treat people, because of the way they're watching. Yeah, the world is watching us. And because of the way you treat people, because you push your faith, you push what you believe, you push your doctrine, you push your church. You don't go to my church, man, you are bad. We push those, not we, right? But some Christians push that stuff, all right? And this, you know, and this guy is saying, yes, that's exactly what he's saying. I don't like this. I don't like this, all right? So an unbeliever is looking in at Christianity, at looking at followers, and they're saying, I don't want to be a part of your group. I don't want to be a part of your group. And listen, we've got lots of people, non-Christians and Christians, that have kind of, especially Christians, that have bagged it. And they stay home and they watch TV and they'll go online and do that. But they don't want to, because we've pushed our doctrine and we think that's what shines. It doesn't. Am I beating you up today? Okay, I'm sorry. But I love you, love you, love you. Okay. But listen, people are tired of being treated and judged. Christians are very tired of that. Wow. Especially when a Christian does it to a Christian. They're like, whoa, didn't see that one coming. Oh, man, I just got smushed to the ground. I'm not even talking about the non-believers, but Christians do that. So, but listen. My job is to encourage you that, yes, you need to know Jesus. And, yes, you ought to be reading your Bible. And, yes, you ought to be praying. That's my job. I get to encourage you. But your job, everybody say the believer's job is to love each other. All right? And none of these, whoa, man, all right? A believer's job is to love each other. All right, now, so the distinguishing characteristic of a wholehearted follower, a believer, a disciple, is not how much you know, is not your doctrine, it's not what church you come from. Well, I'm a Baptist and we get saved. I was a Catholic and I didn't know where you guys went, but we only went to heaven. All right, I love it. I'm a Pentecostal and we know everything. I am of the word of faith. We move mountains, we move buildings, we move anything you want. All right? And we start tossing this around. And we think that's our distinguishing characteristic. Right? That's what Christians think. And let me tell you, that's what the world thinks. So, the world is looking, guys. Christians, the ones that have retreated, they're looking too. Hey, how many of you remember Jesus said, if I be lifted up? He didn't say, if you tell them all the stuff you know or tell them your doctrine, I'll draw all men to me. He said, if I be lifted up. So what's our job? And we do that by loving one another. We really do that. So, Carol, you want to pop up? I'm going to show you this Friday night. We had a blast here. I was plum tuckered out, though, I'll tell you. We did Trunk or Treat, and Carol's just going to throw them up on the screen, and you can kind of watch while I talk, because if you weren't able to be there, great costumes. Do we have to turn lights off, huh? Okay. Oh, yeah, we do need the lights. Oh, lights, lights. Miss Kathy, you go up there and turn that lights. Those, just put them all down. Oh. Okay, I'm going to talk while you have fun and look at them, all right, and laugh at them, right? We had been praying about how we let our light shine. How do we shine in this neighborhood? And I found out the neighborhoods, people drove by from other neighborhoods and drove here. And we decided we were going to do trunk or treat. One, I don't like Halloween. Amen, all right? I know the roots of Halloween. You know, bad, okay, if you want to say that. But we had an opportunity to touch people. We had a great opportunity. And we had an opportunity to shine, and we had an opportunity not to judge. I saw a lot of skeletons and witches, and I don't know what they were, scary costumes. But we had an opportunity to shine our light, shine who Jesus is and love, and an opportunity to not judge. So I want to say I was really proud of everybody. We had 17 cars or 17 people who brought their cars and decorated them. And we had 4 games going on. We had a prayer tent or a prayer station table, my prayer station people. We had lots of setup guys. I had Buck and Brenton and Randy set up and clean up. We had our youth running the games. We just had a lot of people helping out. And I will say this. I believe the light was shining bright. The light was shining bright. And we gave, so I want to, if you were not able to be there, but you were praying or you gave your tithes and offerings here, you partner the same reward. Amen? The light was shining bright. And thank you for the candy. Thank you for the help. We still going here? Good. Oh, yeah. We had a few vampires here. That was a vampire bunny. Didn't know. Tell me when you're done. Okay, those are some of our youth doing face painting. Face painting Minnie Mouse. All right. Hey, listen, guys. We were believing, and I did see that love was going to be shown. And love is probably the most powerful evangelistic tool you can do. Love. We had this one person that said, who was Stacy? Did you tell me that? Where's Stacy? Oh, she's down there. Okay. They had been to the church once, and they live up in the neighborhood, and they never came back. And they were like, oh, man, someone's going to say something. They said, man, you guys just said, yay! We just loved. We just loved. Okay, and at one point I wanted to say to some parent, are you kidding me? You dressed your kid up like that? And the Lord said, shut up, just love them. So we loved them big with candy. All right, and we still, oh, that's me, Frozen. I am Sven. I'd ask kids, do you know who I am? And they'd go, you're a reindeer. I said, yeah, but what's my name? And they'd say, Rudolph. I said, no, that's a distant cousin. How many of you know my friend Olaf? And they're like, oh, that's Sven and Elsa. Okay, good. All righty. Margie and Bob decorated to the T. Hey, there's Rod. We have the Eagles. Yay. All right. Oh, what is this called again? Minecraft. I have not seen this. So I was like, tell me again. Our Jesus cheerleaders. Amen. Ravens, go Ravens, go Ravens, yay, the Coker family, and go Army, yay, okay, and our construction crew, thank you, Jesus, because they brought light, hallelujah, we literally needed more light. The Wizard of Oz, that's the good witch, Glenda, by the way. Okay, oh, my clowns. Julie and her sister were tying up balloons to be all those figures and stuff. So what's your sister's first name? Abby. I said, how'd you do that? Learn that. She goes, YouTube. I was like, you can do anything. Angie brought in her dog, which the doghouse. That's what that was. And, Ninja Turtles. Did you notice the manhole cover? Ha, ha, ha. Prayer station. Who I had? Kathy there, Dave and Diane, Joanne, yep. And the Minions. All right. The 50s or 60s, where were we? Somewhere in there. Yeah. Okay. We're good. I'm going to let you cut that off because I want to say a few more things. We still have more? How many more? Okay. We'll put it on after church. All right. Thank you. I'll take some more lights back on there. Randy, you want to hop up? Mark's faster than a speeding bullet. That's that. Thank you, Mark. Miss Kathy, you want to do that last one? Thank you. All righty. Loving each other is the best evangelistic tool there is. So much so, in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 17, it was said by the people, actually they said pagans, they were like devil worshipers, about Paul and his bunch that came to Thessalonica. Don't ask me to do that one. It says, these men have turned the world upside down and they've come here. So this is my confession for YCF. YCF is turning the world upside down and they have come here for such a time as this. And it also said Paul did that. He evangelized the whole known world at that point in 30 years. Well, I'm good for another 30. Anybody good for another 30? All right. It'll take brotherly kindness. It'll take love. Amen. So the distinguishing characteristic of us is not what we know. It's not our doctrine. It's not what we look like. So when someone walks in here and you go, oh my gosh, did you see they have 14 tattoos on their arms? Big deal. Somebody walks in, they go pierce, and who knows elsewhere pierced. Big deal. None of that matters, guys. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is how we treat one another. That's what matters, and that's called love. All righty, I'm going to close up. Turn over to 1 John, and while I close up, I was scanning Facebook, and I saw this before, and I went digging around for it last night. This was a post on my Facebook. A girl posted. It was actually a sign, like a blackboard with chalk writing on it in front of a store. I think it was really in front of a restaurant, but I'm not sure. It was a big sign, probably about yay big, and it looked like it was at the entry of a store or a restaurant. And it said, your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does. Man, that needs to go on the refrigerator. All right? I don't know if this was a person who is far from God writing this, or this was a Christian, but that just sums it up really good, right? It's your behavior. That's what makes the distinguishing characteristic about us, okay? I'm over at 1 John. Now, let me give you a little background. Who wrote the Gospel of John? Right, okay. And he wrote what Jesus said. Wasn't that? You guys, you got the lollipops real easy. Okay. John wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote what Jesus said. And Jesus had said, we just read, is that the distinguishing characteristic for my true followers, real disciples, is they love one another, right? All right. So now we're going to be over in the Epistle of John, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles at the end of the book, and they're written by John. All right, and they're written about 50 years later. 50 years later, and John is like the last man standing. He's the last of the originals, all right? The last disciple, the last apostle of the originals, okay? Because we still have disciples and all that stuff here. And he's the last one there, and he writes this. And actually, when he writes this, he's still on his soapbox. You ever run those people? I'm like, oh my gosh, they're still on that soapbox for crying out loud. Get over it. John is still on his soapbox, all right? And he's probably about 80 or 90 years old, something like that, because I couldn't find the same two people the same things. And he's still saying, hey, you've got to love one another. So here we go. 1 John 4, 7. Wrong page. Here we go. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, or dear loved ones. Guess who is he writing to? Is he writing to people that are far from Jesus, or is he writing to believers? Aha. So, are you a believer? He's writing to you. So he says, dear friends or dear loved ones, followers of Jesus, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, most of you know this scripture, right? You could probably sing the jingle, right? But we're not, okay? When John writes this, you know what he's really saying? Hey, you guys, I want you to continue to love one another because you're liable to forget this. And you go, Pastor D, you could forget loving one another? Oh, yep, you could. So he's reminding us again, all right? And he's saying, hey, you guys, the distinguishing characteristic. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read this again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who has been born of God, a follower, a disciple, okay, those that are following wholehearted and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, he's talking about how you treat people. Love one another, all righty? Now, I'm all over here. I'm trying to figure this. Okay, whoever does not love doesn't know God. So there's used to be a lady that came to our church. She's since passed away. And she came out of a mainline church. And one of those churches that the pastor has his doctorate of divinity. I do not. All right? As I got to know her really well, she said, man, everybody that goes there, they're like really smart. And actually, she was really smart too. She probably had her college and master's. And she finally left that church and came to our church. And this is back when we were at Valley View. And what drew her and that caught her, she said, you guys have all different kinds of people that come here. And I said, oh yeah, if you only knew the whole story. And at her church, I call them the frozen chosen. Super intellectual, highly polished, and chosen frozen. Okay, and what she was expressing, she says, and you guys love all those kind of people. I go, yeah, they love one another, and we love one another, and they love one another. And she almost wept, and she said, I wish that those people would be welcome in my church. I wish they'd be welcome and feel comfortable in my church. I wish they'd even let them in my church. All right, now I'm sure they didn't have a guard in front of the front door, but you get the picture. And she said this, I just want to know Jesus. I just want to know Jesus. Because when I know Jesus, I'm just going to love. And she's crying out that these people would love big. Okay, but I'm glad she came to our church. Okay, now, according to John, he said, if you don't know God, better yet, He really pointed his finger. He did the mom thing. You don't know God if you don't love one another. You don't know God. And that's a knowing. Like, you know, yes, I ask Jesus in my heart. But that knowing God is that relationship that comes and comes and stays and stays. He said, you really don't know God unless you do this. Love one another. And that's what John wrote. So, the distinguishing characteristic of a church, of the people in the church, is how they love one another. All right? Now, got one more thing here I want to say. I was like, skip this here. What if you, I had heard this before. A pastor told me this, and I actually experienced this. Someone said, oh, Pastor D, I go to this Bible study, and the lady that teaches it, she is really intelligent. She just gives you deep stuff, revelation. Oh, my gosh, every week she is just deep. I really like the deep. The only problem, Pastor, is that she's mean. But she's deep. All right, according to this scripture, though, unless you love one another, maybe you really don't know God. Maybe deep is not good. All right? Okay, I got to change the name to protect the innocent. Some other town, really, it was right in York. Some other town, a family, Christian family that got burnt by Christians, were telling me about their pastor. And this is what their little son said. Came up to their dad. Dad, Pastor so-and-so, he's really mean. He's always mad all the time. This is, kids are observant. Christians are observant. Kids are just right in your face, they'll tell you. And there was a lot going on in that church. Actually, they asked the pastor to resign. And I'm not big into politics and who does what and stuff like that. But I did know a little bit about this pastor, and he was not in a good place. And the sad part is the church wasn't there to help restore him. They just gave him the boot, all right? But the interesting thing is a kid said, Dad, you know, Pastor so-and-so, he's always mean. He's mean. What's the matter with him? All right, but wait a minute. The defining characteristic for a pastor ought to be that they love big. Big, all right? So that's sad. Anyway, alrighty, I'm doing great. We can stick here. Let's finish reading this. 1 John 4, I think I'm up at verse 9. Let me back up. Whoever does not know God, whoever does not love, I'm reading this wrong. Read it for me. Whoever does not love, does not know God because God is love. Wow, man. All right. My brain turned on at 3:45 today. And I have had a lot of coffee. And so I'm so sorry. All right. Because God is love. And this is how God shows, underline that, his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Man, that whole script, that whole thing is good. So, today, when you leave this place, you're going to go eyeball to eyeball with people, maybe at a restaurant or maybe at a store. You're going to go eyeball to eyeball with them. And are you going to show them brotherly kindness? Okay? You're going to leave and you're going to encounter people. And you are containers. You are containers of this love. If Jesus Christ, you've asked him to be Lord of your life, you have this container of love. Now, the problem is, most of the time, sometimes, some of us just hold this container of love. We just hold it. But the second part is not only do we have this container of love, because God has placed his love in us, we are supposed to be dispersers. We are supposed to be dispersers wherever we go. And listen, I don't got it right perfect. Matter of fact, let me tell you a funny story. So I was leaving Twin Pines. I live in York, New Salem. I was leaving Twin Pines, and I was pulling out. And next thing I know, there's this beeping of horns, and this guy comes whipping into – this wasn't me, by the way. This guy comes whipping into the parking lot there, and some lady behind him in a white van is just beeping her horn at him. And he comes whipping into the parking lot, and he does the finger fly. The wave, okay? And I thought, oh. And then I said, oh, my, I know this man. Through Spring Grove, through the band association, I knew that he was a believer. So I was like, oh, my, we're not doing this love one another too good, okay? And listen, we have days. We don't do the finger thingy, okay? We don't wave like that. But we have days. We're not going to do this perfect. But my heart is that I know him, I understand his love, and I continue to walk this out. That's our heart. So we're not perfect, but we're working on this. So what is the defining, distinguishing characteristic for us all? To love one another. And brotherly kindness is loving one another, right? So how would this place be if we did this real good? How would this West York be? How would your neighborhood be? How would your family be if we do this real good. I'm pretty sure it would be really awesome. And I'm not knocking, I'm not saying, oh, Coker family, you guys are a mess. You better get this together. No, I'm not saying that, but you know, we can always do this better. All right? So let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we thank you that you have first loved us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were this obedient son that went after us and brought us into this love. And you've changed our lives forever. We're so thankful. Jesus, we just, lift your hands and go, thank you, Jesus, for changing my life forever. And I thank you that I'm not who I was, and I am in you. I'm looking good, and I'm also getting better. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love that you've given us, that we will be dispersers of this love, and we will shine, and we will bring many to your love. Not through our how much we know, our doctrine, but through you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, every eye closed, because I don't want to ever leave this. You guys can remind me. If there's somebody here today, and you'd say, Pastor D, I think I'm one of those far from God. Or, Pastor D, I've been one of those that got so burnt, and you know, really, I may be, my body may be here, but the rest of me ain't. You know, I've just been hurt and burnt. I want to pray for you. First, if you don't know Jesus and his intense love for you, today is the day of salvation. Today you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired and I just want all that you are in my life. So is anybody here I can pray for you? Okay, anybody here on that? All righty. Anybody here that you'd say, you know, Pastor D, I've been done dirty. Well, one, what we need to do is forgive those. It really is the first part. You forgive those that have done you dirty, the Christians. Man, Christians. So, Father, we forgive those that have hurt us, took advantage of us, were not faithful to produce what they said they would. We forgive them like you have forgiven us. And I thank you, Father, for your love in my life. And I choose to step the next step, loving others. Not just because I ought to, but I love to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Miss Carol, if you can pop the slides on, we'll just leave them on.